Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this morning into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, as we come into your worship, as we come into your word, as we study your word, as we look into your word, we pray the Lord will help us and bless us, O Lord. Open our hearts to receive it. Open our ears to hear it. Open our eyes to see it, O Father. Help us to grow in faith, trusting in you, surrendering our hearts, that you alone are God, in you we trust. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So we've been looking at this new series on Jesus' Kingdom of Heaven parables. So last week, Lenny preached to us on Matthew chapter 13 on the parable of the sower and the soils. Today we'll be looking at the next one in that series and also the same passage, which is the parable of the wheat and the weeds. How many of you are good in gardening? Wow, so many people. I'm very poor in gardening. I have a neighbor who is a very good gardener. I've been a neighbor for the last eight, we've been neighbors for the last 8 years. I see how he plants. And the way he plants his tomatoes and the way he looks after it, the way every season, you know, how he cares for the soil. You know, there is a time where he waits for it. He turns the soil around, which I have no idea how to do it. When to do it, how to do it, what to do, and where. You know, when the soil needs compost, when the soil needs to turn around, when the soil, and you know what to plant in that season. Now, see beefsteaks, tomatoes, which I haven't seen back in India, or I've seen only in New Zealand, after coming to New Zealand, such big ones. And the way he cared for it, I see how fruitful it was at the end. Then I tried to do it. It didn't come out good because I didn't know how to look after. And when I tried to do it, you know, I tried to do putting some seeds, water them daily and anticipate, you know, it'll come out really good. But after some time, you start seeing weeds creeping in and growing. And some are obvious, but others look so similar to your plant. You know, there are some weeds which very similar to tomatoes plant. And it's not, you know, when you're poor in understanding it, it's so hard for you to, which one is weed and which one is a good one. And you, when you try to pull out, you end up in pulling out the good one. So what do? You want to pull the weeds, but you're scared that you might damage the good ones. So you wait. So we see that sort of tension in this passage is what Jesus is speaking into in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. It's about more than gardening. It's about life in God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, a world where good and evil grow side by side. And it forces us to ask, why doesn't God judge? Isn't God just? Why don't he get rid of all the evil now? And that's what we're going to look into this passage. And we see Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 onwards. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them out?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. See, as you look into this, one of the things we need to be clarified here is, in the previous parable, you know, Jesus is speaking from an agricultural setting where the previous parable is about the farmer who takes the seed and takes it to the field. And we see that in that parable, the parable of the sower, the seed represents God's word. And the focus was on how people receive and respond to it. And the soil is the heart of a person. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, the seed represents the sons of the kingdom of heaven. So there, the seed is God's word. The soil is the heart of the person who receives it. But here, the seed represents the sons of the kingdom of God, those who have received God's word and now live in the world. While the first parable is about the condition of our hearts, this one is about how God's people live in a world where there is evil also grows, and how we are called to wait patiently for God's final judgment. Here the master explicitly tells the servants not to uproot the weeds. See, here, when Jesus is giving this parable, we have to understand this. He told them another parable, and in this, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So it is about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom of heaven. How is it? This is how it is. So we have to understand it's about the kingdom of heaven. The parable is about the kingdom of God. And God is the one who sowed the seeds. And you are the sons of God, daughters of God, the one who have received and live. Here we see two things happening. You know, Jesus explained the nature of the spiritual kingdom that he came to establish. But we could see the second one here. It was a device used to separate the believers and the unbelievers. There are two things that we see in this parable. Previously, when Jesus is talking about this parable, one of the things Jesus talks to them is about, you know, when we talk about parable is earthly stories with heavenly truth. But here, Jesus says, chapter 13, verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables." So he's speaking in a language where the sons of God, will know what the Lord is speaking to them. So here, the disciples asking God, "You were talking about this parable. Can you explain it more for us to understand?" But there are people, there is Pharisees, there are teachers of the law who rejected the word of Jesus. So here, the seed is, you and I are the seeds, sowed in this world to be fruitful. But there are other seeds that are sown as well, which is not by the Lord, but by the enemy. See, the weeds that we are talking here, they say that it's something called darnel. Darnel is a weed that looks very, very similar to the wheat. So the master sows the seed, and when you look at the master is somebody. During that time in agricultural setting where the farmer is somebody who's very poor. It's not like a farmer here in New Zealand. It's very in a different setting in the ancient Near East. The farmer is a person who sows, who reaps, and who eats and lives. But here we're talking about a farmer who owns land, who owns servants. And he sends the servants to sow the seed. And when he sows the seed, the next day morning, they realize, and after some time, while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed the seed. The weeds sprouted and formed heads. Then the weeds also appeared. And the servants coming and asking the master, "Master, how did this happen? Because you didn't sow, we didn't do that. How did this happen?" The enemy came and sowed this. So there's a beautiful... The enemy is not coming when there is light. The enemy is not coming when the master is awake or the servants are awake. The enemy is coming in the darkness. You know, Jesus says in the parable, he's a good shepherd, and the sheep knows his voice. And we as the children of God knows what the Lord is saying to his people. And we obey and we live. But those who are not the shepherd, the one who comes to steal, the thief, doesn't come through the front door, he comes through the side. And here we see the enemy who does not come through the front door, not in the morning, he comes in the night when everyone is sleeping. He's crafty like the serpent. He comes to deceive us. He comes to destroy us. Because this darnel is something you don't easily identify it. In the first century in the Roman Empire, it is a punishable act it's a criminal act where if you try to sow darnel among wheat, because it comes out with some sort of fungus which might be poisonous and can kill a person. So it's a punishable act. It's a crime. The enemy doesn't care about the life of the people. He's come to destroy. But our Lord is the Lord who comes to give us life. And as he comes, the Lord says, the servants are asking, should we go and uproot them? Because they saw the ears of the wheat that are sprouted. He said, no, this is not the time. This is not the time for you to uproot it, because this particular wheat has a very strong root structure. Because what it does is, when it's rooted, it spreads to the plant around. When you're trying to pull it out, you also pull the good ones out. And God says, no, you don't do that. You wait for the time of harvest. When we can see the fruit, then I will judge them. I can collect all the weeds because you can see the plant by its fruit. In the gospel, Jesus says, how do you know the good fruit? How do you know the bad fruit? You know it by its fruit. And here, Jesus says, wait for the time, because the Lord who has brought the kingdom through his ministry and person, in his second coming, there will be a consummation of the kingdom of heaven. He'll come in his full glory, and he will judge the earth, and he will uproot the evil and eradicate sin and the corruption of this world. And the righteous will shine. Amen? When you suffer and struggle, understand that God is a God who is just, and he will judge this world. Because this is the kingdom of heaven that God is talking about. He brought the kingdom of heaven to this earth through Jesus Christ. And you and I are the sons of God who received the word, and we live a life that is fruitful in this world. Later in verse 36, the disciples said, When they left the crowd and went into the house of his disciples, came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." It's very simple and it's very clear here. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom. They will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. See, Jesus uses the term, the Son of Man. See, which goes back to Daniel chapter 7 verse 13, where Daniel is seeing a vision that represents the end of the world, where God gives to this code, Son of Man, all the dominion and authority, and establishes his kingdom forever. And so in Daniel's vision, the Son of Man refers to the Messiah who is to come. The people at that time, they are waiting for the Messiah to come, but there are many people who came, tried to be the Messiah of this world at that time to help them to overthrow the Roman kingdom and save them. But Jesus, who is the true Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, he didn't say, "I'm the king." The only place he has announced is when the governor asked, the Pilate asked him, "Are you the king?" But not in any place that he spoke that much about him. But he says, he is the king. The Son of Man is the one who's going to come with authority and is going to rule. And now Jesus is saying, "Here I am." Because to look into it, we need to. So how do we know that? In Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21, it says, "Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered him, 'The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in midst of you.'" Jesus declares that the kingdom is already present through his person and in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 12 and 28, he says, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So Jesus says, the kingdom is here. The power of Jesus over evil is a sign that the kingdom is already active. But the kingdom of God is still to come in his full glory. Luke 22:18 says, "For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So Jesus refers to the future fulfillment of the kingdom. So Paul in letters will explains us very clearly where Jesus has established his kingdom, but also evil coexists there in that. When you ask, why does God does not judge? Because he's given us time patiently for us to grow, so some could repent. Or in that persecution, God wants us to purify us and to be fruitful in his kingdom. And in his consummation of the kingdom of heaven, when he comes with his angel, with his saints, that's going to be the twinkle of eye. Will be judged. The tares, the weeds, the darnel will be collected and be put in the fire. Eternal damnation. And the good one, the righteous one who stood faithfully, will be taken to the barn in the presence of God. With God, the new heaven and new earth. See, one of the challenges the struggle of perseverance here. Because in the kingdom of God, the scripture says, you will know by your fruit. So we are saved by the grace of God. How many of you believe that? It's not by our works. It's purely by the grace of God that we are saved. And that saving faith is a gift of God. The grace is a gift of God in our life. It is not by our works. Sometimes we might think, no, I chose God. I believed in him. But in Titus, Paul writes, when you believe, the Spirit of the Lord is the one who transforms your heart in first place to believe in the Lord. Everything that in your life, in our life, is purely by the grace of God. The one who started the good work in us, he will bring us to completion. He's the one who started the good work. He's the one who's going to bring it to completion. Does it mean that should we do nothing? Because there is a challenge always comes. Once you are saved forever. Yes, the saving act of the Lord is by him. But we have a responsibility how we live this life of obedience in response to the gospel, in response to what the Lord has done on the cross for us. The perseverance of the saints. The grace of the Lord, it's a gift. On the other side, it's like the two sides of the coin, the perseverance of the saints who persevere patiently. Because by your fruits you are known. Because we struggle at times. We fail. But you know what God says, the Spirit who is given to you is also the one who helps you and sanctifies you. One of the things that we, one of the term in theological thing is debtor's theology, where we are paid by the ransom. We are sinners. We are debted to Christ. And God, by his grace, paid our debt and saved us. But when you really understand about the debt part of your life, you and I are indebted to God, our life. But how are we going to pay back this price? Do you think, one of the things comes to my mind whenever I think about how do we live our life, persevere for the Lord? How will we be fruitful? How do I do that? And always this thing comes to my mind, how am I going to pay back? Because you cannot pay back what the Lord has done for you on the cross. Because many people say, God has paid this debt so that you live in obedience and you pay back that. You cannot. I want to collect something from my own life. I remember there was a beginning stage of my life 13 years ago in this country. I was going through a very rough phase. I want to take a bank loan. And the bank said, sorry, you don't have a good credit history here. You're new to this country. We cannot give you a loan that you're asking for. You're ineligible to get a loan from us. You don't qualify for it. I'm struggling. I need some help. But here comes my friend who loves me, who knows me very well. He said, Alex, you know what? I know you're in need. Take this money. Give me back whenever you want. See, I can pay back the number here, whatever this person has given me. I can pay back the debt. But I was ineligible in the world for the loan company to give me a loan. And here comes a person who knows that my ineligibility, I don't qualify for it, yet because he loved me, because he's my friend, is willing to offer that help. I can pay back that money, but I cannot pay back what he has done for me. Because I was not equal to him at that place. In Jesus, what he has done for us on the cross, you cannot pay back that debt. You can never pay back that debt because you're not in equal with Jesus. Your sins that have been forgiven, you're not in a place of eligible, deserving, or worthy. You're undeserving. You're ineligible, unworthy. But he came, the one who created you, comes down for you and given his life poured out on the cross for your sake so that you will be saved. So now the life that you live and persevere as saint is out of obedience and joy. Not that you're paying back your debt. How much ever you try, you cannot fulfill or pay back that debt. You cannot do it with your works. But all you can do it by living the life out of joy, the overwhelming joy that the Lord has poured out in our life. And part of it is where you live a life of obedience. That's what beautifully John Piper says. John Piper says, when the Spirit of the Lord transforms our heart has been stones, but the Lord has changed our heart to become a flesh. What does it mean from heart of stone to heart of flesh? Is a heart that is affectionate to God. The heart that loves God. That heart that is obedient to God. I remember Lenny was preaching. He mentioned about, you know, we are rebellious in nature. We are sinful. But God helped us. The Spirit of the Lord transformed our heart in salvation, where he made us to be obedient to his word. And today you obey, it's because of the Holy Spirit. It's because of Jesus Christ. So now, we live this life and be fruitful and respond because of what the Lord has done for us. And he will help us to be fruitful. He will lead us and he will help us. And if there is a time that comes to you to say, sorry, I cannot do it, we need to ask the Lord because the Lord is there to help us. You know, I meet with people. People say, sorry. The time that you struggle are the time which makes you hard for you to come and kneel and pray and surrender to the Lord. But you know what? That's the most important time God wants you to come and surrender your life and pray. The time that you could not, your heart is not letting you to pray, is the time where God wants you to come and surrender your life. And in that way, God can change your heart. And change your heart according to his perfect will and perfect pleasure. And that's what God wants from us. Because the sons of evil who are sold are also the one who have come to corrupt us. Because in the Gospel of in the Acts, we see Simon the sorcerer, the one who becomes saved. He goes after the apostles and asks Paul and says, we look at him as a genuine act of he's been saved. But he comes and asks, well, Paul, that miracle that you are doing, the power that you have, how do I get it? So he's a sorcerer. We thought he's given up his life, but his whole intention to become believer, the one to trust in the Lord, is to get that power what Paul has so that I could be a better sorcerer. Because we profess and say that we are Christian, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't mean that we are truly a believer. Because we'll be known by our fruit. The one who saved us, yes, God has saved us, but you will know by your fruit. So Alex, do you saying that it's because of an action that shows my salvation? No, what I'm saying is the question comes back to us saying, are we saved in first place? Are we, if we're not obedient, if our heart is not transformed, the question comes to a place, are we saved in first place? Because when Jesus comes, when he judges, he knows our heart. And you look into our heart and he will judge us. Because the kingdom of God is what we are talking about. The seeds that are sown, the sons of God in the world. Because when you look at the Pharisees, they pray many times. The teacher of the law know the scripture in the fingertip. But they did not understand the kingdom of God, what Jesus has come to establish here. Jesus is there, yet they did not know Jesus. So we can fall into the same trap. That's why Jesus does not want to uproot the wheat and he waits for the harvest. And he also given us time where, you know, whenever Jesus taken the gospel and preached the good news, there are people who believed immediately and responded to the gospel. There are people said, we want to hear more. We want to clarify some things. We want to listen more. There's some of them rejected straight away. See, as children of God, God is so patient and given us a chance time and again for us to repent and come to the Lord and trust in him. Amen? He's a patient Lord and he loves us and he cares for us. And some of the things in our life, what we need to understand is, see, God's kingdom is universal. Wherever people respond to his gospel, they will grow the good wheat of the kingdom. There's good soil everywhere, and our job is to plant the seed. It's why we do mission work. The taste and see that we are doing, it's part of that. Part of what we have received, we want to share with the people. If you receive the gospel, if you know the blessing of the what the Lord has done in our life, if we keep it to ourselves, that's selfishness. We want to share that to other people. People who are in the darkness will come to know the Lord and receive that blessing and be part of the kingdom of God. And also, there are pretenders in the kingdom of God. See, Satan is not going to trouble the one who do not believe and chosen the path of unrighteousness. He wanted to target the ones that are in the kingdom of God. When somebody is doing a sinful life, he's not worried about him. But those who are making the trusting in the Lord. You know, the previous parable where as soon the seed is fell on the ground, on the road, the bird came, that the enemy came and immediately taken it. And some fell in the rocky patches where the pressures of the, you know, the persecution, they received with joy, they grew, but it could not root. Because root need perseverance. And some between the thorn bushes, the pressures and the pleasures of the world, the thorns started to crush them. They could not grow. The one fell on the good soil. Satan will target the ones who are young in their faith, who are new believers. And that's why time and again, whenever we talk about one of the things I like about our church is the community of God and discipleship. And as we grow, one of the things what we have to understand is we do not grow on our own. We need God's people. We need to help one another. We need to come alongside each other. I'm not saying in a workplace where in the middle of the lunch where you're asking to go and say, what do you think about today's scriptural passage? What do you think about the Bible? What passage you read? But it is easy to ask in the church. in your fellowship among people of God, so we can encourage one another, so we can ask where they are at. God can use people in a wonderful way to change the heart of people. See, I respect counselors. I respect God's people who have taken the time to spend, you know, dedicate their life for counseling. But one of the books I recently read, it talks about your instruments in the hands of the Redeemer. Most of our conversation sometimes happens in your workplace. You'll be having a coffee with your friend and suddenly he talks about stuff which is very deep. And you'll be giving an answer to him, not thinking, oh, I'm not well qualified for this person or this issue. You share your heart and that really ministers to a person. As people of God, don't hesitate to speak the truth and come alongside, help one another. And also people who come to know the Lord, put your life in reading God's word, meditating upon God's word and praying. Because growing up, one of the things my parents like, if you're not reading the Bible, you're not eating today. You need to pray. I know it's like harsh, but I understood how important those things helped me in my life as I had times of struggle. God's word ministered and meditate, you know, in our meditation, comes back to us and helps us and encourages us. And today we lose that and people struggle. So we as people of God come alongside and say, hey, how can I help? How can I sit with you? How can I have coffee with you? How can I read the Bible with you? How can I encourage you? Because Satan targets the one who are weak, not the matured. Amen? And no one escapes the judgment. Our job is not to judge who belongs or does not belong to the kingdom of God. As a weed, as you are growing, it is not our job to look at the darnel around you, the weed. It's not my duty to go pull out the weeds. It's God who will judge. But my role, my job is to grow and be fruitful. Our job is not to judge who belongs or does not belong to the kingdom of God, but our job is to grow in the kingdom of God. There are churches which hurts, but there are churches which heals. But the church of God that Jesus has wants to be a healing church, not as a hurting church. Not as a church that harms, judges, but helps, receives, and loves people. And that is what God called us to do. Amen. The question is where we are at. So I want to ask you this question. Where are you in your life? Have you come to Christ and been planted as the sons and daughters of the kingdom of heaven? Have you received Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life and living the life that he has called to live by the power of the Holy Spirit? And how are you living in the field? Are you frustrated with the weeds around you? Or are you bearing fruit, trusting the harvester and waiting with hope? One day, the field will be sorted. Until then, we live in the tension, but not without hope. Because Jesus knows his field and he will come and he will judge the earth. And the sons of righteousness will shine in his kingdom. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, O Father. Lord, your word says, those who has ears, let him hear. Lord, help us to be children whose hearts are affectionate to you, trusts in you, surrenders to you, obeys you, and lives for your glory and your glory alone, O Father. We are broken people. We cannot do it on our own strength. We trust in your word and the one who lives in us, who helps us, who strengthens us in our weakness and brings us into completion. And we will be received into the fullness of your kingdom. The hearts that are aching, that are crying, Father, we pray the Lord will bless those hearts. The ones who are crying out for help, we pray the Lord will help them. And the ones who are asking and seeking you for strength, Lord, you help us. As your children, we trust in you. You are our God. We are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.